Millions are affected by anxiety, but less than half receive treatment for it. That is where Rooted comes in to make its mark, helping users, but also proving you can bootstrap your way from zero to nearly 2 million users. We have the story from Rooted's founder, Anya Visoska. She tells us how she's teaching users to live with a little less panic and a lot more confidence. All this and more in episode number 466. Hello and welcome to Mobile Presence, your destination for everything mobile. I'm your host as always, Peggy Ann Saltz, mobile analyst, tech consultant, senior Forbes writer, founder of Mobile Groove, and it's on the Groove that we also have the video to the podcast. So we get you on all the channels. So we're looking at a different type of topic today, because when you hear that anxiety disorder, generalized anxiety disorder affects 6.8 million adults, roughly 3.1% of the U.S. population, and yet only 43% are receiving treatment for it, well, it's a sobering statistic. So we're going to take a look at an app that is giving its users the tools to deal with anxiety head on. It's a company called Rooted, and I have founder Anya Visoska, who's going to tell us how she's teaching users to live with a little less panic, a little bit more fun, changing the world while she's at it. Anya, great to have you, first of all, on Mobile Presence.
Thanks, Peggy. Thanks for having me.
I have to say, your app is really refreshing. Applaud your work. But let's take a step back and talk about, you know, anxiety. When did that become a problem that you wanted to tackle in this particular way?
So I was in my fourth year of university when I experienced my first panic attack, and I didn't have access to resources that could help at the time. I was on student loans, far away from home. You know, I looked to my phone to see if there's something that could help, but none of the apps there really spoke to me. And so I started doing my own research and carrying my books around campus, and that's where the idea for Rooted started. I thought, okay, this really needs to be an app, once I learned the things that really helped me.
I mean, that is a very interesting journey, and it is really a problem. I have some close friends, members of my family, you know, and people are somehow, it seems, more prevalent than it was. Or maybe we're just less worried, or there's less stigma to talking about panic attacks or anxiety. How have you seen that journey with your app? Are you seeing that this is something that is resonating, or people were looking for it? Tell me about that aspect of your work.
Yeah, so I think with what you mentioned there, it's a bit of both. You know, I think it's potentially increasing with the way that we are living our lives these days, but also it's just being more and more talked about and destigmatized, which is awesome. And that was one of the core values of Rooted. If you go through the app, you'll notice that it looks a lot like a game. And so one of the ideas was to have users be able to use it in public comfortably, because it doesn't necessarily look like they're doing anything medical or, you know, having those types of issues. And we got a lot of feedback from users saying that that was super helpful. They can use it at a bus stop. They can even use it when they're at work, when they just need to overcome a panic attack and get back to it versus needing to go home for the whole day. So we've seen a lot of feedback like that. And then in terms of general increase of talking about anxiety in the world, you know, we launched before the pandemic, but throughout the pandemic, and, you know, we definitely had, people were suffering with anxiety panic attacks pre-pandemic. But throughout the pandemic, we also noticed and saw a lot of government bodies and large organizations and big companies acknowledge mental health, talk about it, and talk about the importance of doing something about it. So that has been huge and has definitely helped our marketing efforts in the sense that it's less stigmatized now. And so people are even more keen to want to talk about Rooted, more keen to want to share their story, more keen to share it with their friends and family.
And it's also an important point in what you've done as a business, because you're a founder and you have bootstrapped Rooted from zero to 1.7 million users in 3 years. First of all, congratulations, because that's an incredible success. Tell me about those early days. What was it like?
So the very early days, when I realized that I wanted to create an app, I went to an agency. You know, I had some design and the content started, and they told me, yeah, that sounds great. We'll do that for $50,000. This is back then. Now it's probably even more expensive. And I thought, oh, wow, like I definitely don't have that. So that's when I started learning from vlogs and YouTube about how to create an app, what goes into it. And the first version was actually started with a student developer who, was able to offer me a price that I could afford because it was their first time doing something like this. And we were both kind of starting on it for the first time. So that's how the original version started. And then moving forward, you know, Rooted resonated with a lot of people from the get-go. The content really resonated. We were receiving 5-star reviews from people sharing that Rooted's changing their life very soon after launch. So that to me was validating enough. And slowly that revenue started trickling in to the point where investment wasn't like an immediate need. And so I was able to be a bit more picky and choosy about investment, and that helped me really go back to Rooted's core values. I think that's like a strength you have. If you don't need the investment desperately, you can really take your time and see what happens before you need to take capital.
I mean, you went the self-funded route. That is brave. And you even had some offers from investors as well. I mean, why do it? Why do bootstrapping? I mean, it can be that you have complete control of the company, you can complete control of the product, but it's also not the easiest path. What made you do it?
I think it really goes back to the core values that I started Rooted with, and I sometimes reference that document from the very beginning because, you know, a lot of it was about helping those who really experience panic attacks. And those people, those folks might be out of work temporarily or long term. They might not be the people who can afford to pay for the app. And in my early conversations with investors, a lot of the time they were suggesting things like offer less free tools, you know, or include advertising, stuff that really kind of strayed away from those values. You know, I don't think an ad would be a great fit for somebody with an app like Rooted. So that's originally why I started shying away from investment. And that's not to say that all investors only have those ideas. Obviously, there are some really great investors out there. But I just became really enthralled by the experience of bootstrapping. You know, I got to experiment with so many different things. You know, on the one hand, it meant I had no social life because I was doing all these different things all the time. But on the other hand, like getting to see that come through and doing these things that investors told me I would never be able to do without them, it kind of felt good. You know, it felt good. And I think just sticking to Rooted's core values has assisted me along this whole process.
You beg the question, I have to know, you know, what did you do differently? What did you learn along the way? I mean, okay, we talked about the no social life. As a founder in my own situation with Mobile Groove, I totally get that. But there's fun along the way. There's fun experiences. There's a ton of learning. Share some of those with us.
Yeah, it's super fun, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, there's
not having the social life. We sort of have to deal with that.
Yeah. Obviously, there are worse days, and then kind of going back to why you started really helps. But yeah, a few of the tactics that I used, and I don't think, you know, definitely didn't reinvent the wheel. It was more so just stuff that I was learning online and then incorporating into Rooted and seeing if it worked. So things like, you know, strong focus on ASO. One thing that I share is, you know, we focused a lot on the niche of panic attacks as opposed to general anxiety. Panic attacks being a more, niche keyword, less volume, less difficulty. And then only over time did we expand to anxiety. And now, happy to say, we're number one for panic attacks in the States and number three for anxiety, which was a huge goal from the beginning. So that was one. Translating into different languages, this is something that I was told would be too much of a distraction and not a priority. But I grew up abroad and moving around a lot. And so for me, connecting with people in different languages is a really fun and important part of it, especially because some of the cultures where the languages are translated into, mental health is even more stigmatized. So to give people a resource there just meant a lot. And that definitely helped with distribution. A lot of social media engagement, that really helps. And yeah, we didn't really get into much advertising at all. Like I tried to outsource a bit of that, and pretty much everything that I had outsourced just didn't go to plan. So I've had more success just doing these strategies internally. But it's not to say I won't try again with advertising, but just, you know, the focus right now has been really strongly on just making Rooted a great product, and then user reviews that come after that are what reinforces that distribution in the App Store and Play Store.
Yeah, I mean, you make a point. I couldn't imagine a very pleasant user journey. You're in the middle of a panic attack. You really want to use the tools, or you want to feel rooted literally in your app. And it's sort of like, you know, but first, message. Like, no, not right now. Absolutely not. So you've created Rooted for yourself and for others. I just want to talk briefly about the benefits of being a user of your own app, you know, because in some ways, people fall in love with their app and they're like, oh, this is great. And then they find out later they were thinking about themselves, not creating for an audience. Now you have had the luck of doing both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to start, I guess, you know, I didn't go around surveying people before I started Rooted. You know, I probably didn't do the launch that a MBA or somebody who has done this before maybe would have had the wisdom to plan out. I really did just sort of do it for myself and what I needed at the time. So I think that the benefit of that is that you are also your best QA person for a while anyway, as we were starting out, because I was like, okay, is this actually what's helpful? And I was able, because I was very sensitive to the content in Rooted, and one of Rooted's differentiators is the language used. You know, it's very warm and friendly and inclusive, as opposed to something that's maybe a bit more medical in nature, which a lot of talks and different resources about anxiety can be. So I was really sensitive to the language. I was sensitive to the tools. And yeah, I guess to start, at least, I was definitely the QA person as well. And I think that was a really big strength. Now that we're expanding and we, you know, have this many more users, I am more attuned to the fact that not everybody learns in the same way. So as an example, I learn by reading. I always have. I learned more in university by just reading by myself in the library than going to lectures. That's just kind of how my brain works. But I know that a lot of people learn with audio or video. And so now we are incorporating more and more audio into the app. So yeah, just it's a process about making it even more inclusive for people now. But to start, I'd say it was a strength that I got to be my own QA person.
Okay, and you are expanding, as we said. We'll talk a little bit about the marketing, the channels, but first, Anya, we do have to go to break. So listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.
For maximum customer engagement and retention, choose CleverTap. CleverTap is a leading customer engagement and retention platform that helps digital brands maximize lifetime value. Over 8,000 apps around the world, including Vodafone, Star, and Sony, trust CleverTap to improve user engagement, boost retention, and fuel long-term revenue growth. Learn more at clevertap.com. That's clevertap.com.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
And welcome back to Mobile Presence. We are talking with Anya Wysoska. She is founder of Rooted. And we were talking, Anya, about the app experience, your experience as a founder, bootstrapping. I mean, more power to you. Now I'd like to talk about marketing, because you have grown tremendously, you know, 1.7 million bootstrapped. Marketing's coming, but a big part of this currently is the reviews. You know, positive reviews are gold. Really important for marketing, word of mouth. Tell me a little bit about your review strategy. How do you get positive reviews? Asking for them without sort of saying, asking for them, right?
Yeah, so I think we do a few things, and one of them is actually just asking for them, to be honest. You know, that the app review pop-up that you can sort of implement into the app. I incorporate that right after the aha moment, which to me is the first time a user gets a success screen, which means they've used one of the tools in the app and they're being congratulated for their great work in doing that tool. So that is where we first ask for an app. I think that now I'm in a place where I really would like you know, the more reviews, the better, especially when you're still a small app, you know, even with 1.7 million downloads, the more reviews, the better. And I'd like to keep pushing that. I think that maybe once, you know, you have a marketing strategy or you continue to grow in this bootstrap way and you have many more users downloading every day, that ask could be later in the app. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that that might be even better in some cases. So I'm kind of experimenting with that. But for now, it is on that first aha moment. And then outside of that, you know, I've been really very grateful that people are recognizing the content in the app. And it's been like that from the very beginning. So even though there was a bug in the app, you know, like our first few versions had a ton of bugs and people would complain about that part of the experience, they would leave a review saying something like, you know, I love the content in the app, it's so amazing, but I couldn't open it today, so 1 star. So then that gives me an opportunity to be like, okay, they cared enough to leave this review, they've already shared that they like it, so I would go in and say, hey, like, you know, we want to do anything we can to make you experience a 5-star experience, so please write out to me. As you know, it's a bit challenging because you don't have people's user or their emails when they leave a review, unfortunately, so you really, it's up to them to continue that dialogue with you. But yeah, I do that for pretty much anything under 5 stars, you know, asking people to write in. And honestly, maybe 3 out of 10 will actually respond. So it's not like super high response rate, but those people very often will change from a 1-star to a 5-star review if you are doing everything you can to make their experience better, be that address a bug, maybe consider implementing something they're suggesting. And if not, explain to them why. I find that when people feel respected, they're very likely to go back and leave a good review, even if they know you're not going to change your whole app for them.
Especially for an app like yours, you know, I want to feel listened to. I want to be treated as an individual. Part of the reason I might be anxious is because I feel I'm alone. And if you have my back, then that's a good feeling. You're also there for me in a different sense because you are a subscription app. So I have committed to you, you've committed to me, you know, we have a deal. Tell me a little bit about the lessons that other app owners, other marketers thinking about trying a subscription plan. When do you know you're ready for one?
So I actually launched Rooted with the freemium model from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the tools that you need if you're experiencing a panic attack are completely free. That's how we started from the get-go. And now we started offering a 7-day free trial as well. And that has been really successful. What it is people get to start off the app with the full premium experience. And a lot of people get used to it, right? They don't want to have something taken away from them. So if they are able to, then they subscribe after the 7 days. And we have a lot of users from that. So that was one of the key learnings, is introducing the free trial.
That is interesting, because people usually said, you know, try it and then build up. But I'm hearing a lot in the industry, really, about how people have to rethink their paywall. Because if it's not worth paying for at the beginning, you know, why would I at the end? So you've done that. You've said, hey, here's what everything is, and you'll get to use it, you'll get to love it, and then you won't want to give it up, which is very different to the freemium model. I mean, what have you seen from that? Have you seen that conversions are higher, retention is greater? Because, of course, I can always check out. A subscription plan doesn't mean you have me forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'd say both conversions and retention, you're spot on there. Our conversion rate actually increased by 6 times within the first month of implementing the free trial.
Huh. That tells us something about what paywall to use, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And I'm just curious, you talked about yourself, retention. What's that looking like? Because, again, you know, it can be a 120 cycle, 120-day cycle. It can be more. What are you seeing there? Also an uplift?
We're noticing that we have 2 types of users, those users who use it more so for the panic attack feature, and they are less likely to subscribe, but they're more likely to be in the app very frequently. And then we have people who subscribe, are more likely to subscribe, and they're using more of the general anxiety features. So we kind of have this like interesting skew of that retention model. And so yeah, it's been really interesting. But I would say that yes, the payment retention is definitely higher with the free trial.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not so early days. I mean, you've got 1.7 million users and counting, subscription plan. Tell me a little bit about the personas, the segmentation. I mean, it must be fascinating to understand the segments of users or the valuable users or what an engaged user looks like to you.
Mm-hmm. So much like what I was sharing there about like the user using the panic attack tools, they are in the app most frequently. They are really, they have this sort of internal call to use the app, and that's really seen in the metrics. And then those who are using it for more general anxiety, they sort of have this external call where they're like, okay, it's not debilitating for me, but I know I probably should because this will make my life better. So those two styles of motivation, I think, really do show in the metrics. And then one thing that's been kind of interesting too is that, you know, since I created Rooted for myself, it was very surprising, or not surprising, I guess, that people in my demographic were downloading Rooted, right? That's the primary demographic. You know, females from 20 to 35, like that's the biggest demographic for us. But we also hear from people that are in much later stages in life. So we hear from, for example, a daughter wrote in to say that her dad was experiencing really bad panic attacks, and he's in a care home now, and he was using Rooted, and even the caregivers at the care home wanted to give Rooted a shout out because it had helped him so much. And then we, on the flip side, have parents who use it with their children. So one of our youngest users is like 7 years old, and it's totally up to the parents to use, you know, Rooted with them and review it before they use it with their child. But they also shared feedback saying, you know, this has helped their daughter more than anything else. So it's been really interesting to see these sort of, you know, different use cases that I didn't imagine at first.
And you tell some beautiful stories there. And I mean, storytelling is everything. First of all, it's how you create community and interest in your app, but it's also how you get your app in the news. Now, you've had stories published by Apple about Rooted. What kind of PR promotion goes into that? Because you're getting Rooted in the news, your bootstraps, you can't necessarily have, you know, the top PR firms behind you. What's the secret there? How'd you manage that?
Yeah, so to start, I mean, the stories with Apple is sort of separate. That's just, you know, Apple chooses what they want to publish on their own time, and that's totally up to them. You know, I submit. Yeah, thank you. I think it, you know, I submit, you know, what Rooted's updates are. I do that very regularly, and I'm always, you know, letting them know as much information as I can. But it's totally up to them, nothing that I'm in control over. But when it comes to press releases, that's something that I, you know, connected with a friend who is sending out press releases through a distribution person. And that's really where I connected with that distribution person. And every now and then I'll do a press release and just send it out through them to different people. So I, you know, ways to do that on a bootstrap budget is I find people through Fiverr, or I write my own press release, which saves an extra few hundred dollars per submission. And then I also reach out to or do some research on which journalists might be more keen to actually share something about mental health and share something about mobile apps, for example. So I think doing all of that research is also going to save you funds in the long run.
Well, absolutely. And what is going on with your company right now? I mean, like, how big are you? I mean, you're obviously global in reach. It's a global issue. You've obviously localized. Tell me a little bit about your physical presence. How many people, how many countries, how many fans?
Fans. Do you mean followers?
Yeah, you know, influencers, yeah. Supporters, people who say, you know what, this is awesome, cool. And I just want to tell you about it. And there it is right there, you know. So it's between the people that you have in your company and the supporters who really stand behind that company. Give me an idea of the range and the size.
So we're still very small, you know. Mm-hmm. It's it's myself and three developers, one senior and two junior. And then we have a social media content creator and a social media engagement person. This is all contracts, so there's no, you know, it's all, you know, kind of as needed. And then through, you know, all the translation and the global stuff that you mentioned, we definitely have a number of different translators we work with through groups like Fiverr and native speakers in those countries to make sure it's all translated well. And then, yeah, just a number of really great and inspiring people who just want to chat about Rooted. That's always awesome, like to just grab coffee with them. Also pretty informal, but I think that, you know, in terms of those fans, because that is where the biggest support comes from by far, because, you know, with the stuff that we're working on, it's all stuff that you can find online and just try out and see if it works for your app. That's kind of how my whole year is planned out. It's based on things that I've read and I want to try out. But when it comes to those fans and supporters, I'd say probably tens of thousands at this point. You know, there's so many therapists and psychologists and clinicians that will write in and say, hey, I'm recommending this to my patients or groups. And there's a number of different influencers who have shared also in like an informal way that, you know, they're using Rooted and how much it's been helping them. And they share that with their followers. I've had a few paid relationships as well. But yeah, the majority would be informal, just people finding Rooted, downloading it, and sharing it with others.
If people really do like to recommend what they love, or they love to give some advice, be helpful. I've done a lot of research and read a lot of research around that. You know, people love to say, hey, I've got a great idea for you, or hey, let me help you out. And so, you know, just that good experience turns into indirectly great marketing for you. Looking at Rooted going forward, you know, you've got some things in mind here, some gamification, some visualizations. We talked about video. Give me a little idea of what is the next big effort that you're that's underway for you, or that you're working on for Rooted right now.
Yeah, so in terms of that roadmap I mentioned, it's really a number of different both product improvements and little changes that I want to work on and see through this year. And then when it comes to, and that includes, you know, that increasing the amount of visualizations in the app, you know, we also have sleep sounds, so increasing those, a lot of that gamification, like you mentioned, with the journal tool and with the lesson tool, and just realizing that, you know, rather than text, we might have audio where there's text right now, right, with the lesson. So just increasing the accessibility for different people, that's huge on the product front. And then on the marketing front, I definitely would, you know, now that we have this traction, and in many ways people would share that it's product market fit, you know, when you go by different definitions online, but there's so many definitions, but you know, having that now, I think it could be time to try the marketing again on the paid side and see if there's some you know, profitable ways to do that.
Just curious, because that is where the challenge is. It's where the winning is, right? It's also where the challenge is. So let's say you have a budget, you know, I don't know, pick a number. You're down to, you have a 50K budget and you want to do paid. I'm just curious, because for you, it really needs to count. For others, they can do a little bit of experimenting and say, ah, didn't work, not that bad. You have to make it count. What kind of channels would you be looking at?
I'd probably be mostly focused on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and maybe Google Mobile. I guess I was able to just learn a lot about that. It is one of the more automated processes, but I've just been able to meet with their agents a few times and try to understand the platform more and more. And I do kind of feel like there is a potential for a win there. Lots to experiment with, but I think that I was less careful before, because when we first had, like, definitely on the product side, everything you're saying is true. Like, because of that bootstrap budget, I have to do everything really smart, and I have to make sure it's really going to work before I invest. I think with advertising, I just sort of went, okay, now that we have revenue, let's give this a try. And I wasn't as, you know, I had outsourced it as opposed to like really focusing on it and doing it more myself. So I think that's something I would change now, is just do it a lot more carefully, even if I do have outsourced help to support me. But yeah, I think mobile ads could be one of those channels for sure.
We certainly are a wealth of information, and your journey is so exciting, Anya. I mean, founder, first of all, love founders, female founder, even cooler, but then also a founder on sort of like this mission of growth and experimentation. I mean, you're in it for a longer run. I can see that. How would our listeners maybe stay in touch with you, continue the conversation? You're in Toronto today, so you're obviously out there at events, speaking, whatever. Where might we see you? How might we connect with you?
I'll next be speaking at MAU in Vegas on June 8th. Oh, cool. Awesome. We'll see each other in person. And then, you know, in general, you can find me on Twitter at Anya Margaret, and then there's at @rooted_app. And we're @rooted_app pretty much on all socials, so that includes Facebook and TikTok and Twitter and Instagram. So any of those channels work. And then, yeah, you can find out how to reach the team through the product page and by downloading the app and everything. So yeah, you'll always get a response if you reach out.
That is great. And now I'm really excited. The great news of the day, we'll see each other. That's an incredible sort of coincidence that I didn't expect. So I want to thank you, Anya, so much for sharing. And I'll be personally looking forward to connecting with you. And I'm sure my audience will as well. Thanks again for sharing.
Awesome. Thanks again, Peggy.
And of course, if you want to keep up with me throughout the week, find out how you can be guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, you can email me, Peggy. Peggy@mobilegroove.com is where you can find my portfolio of content marketing and app marketing services. Hey, if you're in Vegas, you just heard it, I'm at MAL too. Love to meet up with you. Love to hear your stories. And speaking of stories, that's what we have here on Mobile Presence. And you can check out all the stories in all the earlier episodes of our show by going to WMR.FM. You can find our shows on Amazon, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, simply by searching Mobile Presence. Of course, don't forget video powered by The Groove from Mobile Groove on YouTube. So remember, every minute is mobile. So make every minute count. Keep well, stay safe. We will see you soon.
The opinions expressed in this WMR.FM program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMR.FM. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.